Medical information obtained from our website or the live show is not intended to be a substitute for professional care. If your pet has or you suspect they might have an illness or other medical condition, you should consult a health care provider. The opinions expressed on this radio program are not necessarily those of All Paws Pet Talk, this radio show, or their sponsors.
Smart Animal Talk at All Paws Pet Talk Radio. And I will, it's Deb Wolf, you know me, and I will be updating you on the latest news. There was another gigantic bust, SPCA involvement, dogs rescued, cats rescued. I'll tell you all about it all through the show today. But first, before we get to that, we've got an interesting topic, a new guest we've never had on the show before on Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio. And I'm quite curious to hear all about her. She's in Virginia, but that doesn't matter because she can help you no matter where you are, which is something I've only heard of a few people who've come on the show offering. Usually it's a shame that you can't reach them, but this time you can. So we're going to talk with Kathleen Milner, kathleenmilner.com, if you want to look up the website while we're online here. Kathleen Milner with a K. And we're going to talk about healing and how you can get that if you're not in the same place as Kathleen. Welcome to the show, Kathleen.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, it's great to have you. So how does this work?
Well, I was born with a gift of healing and intuition. And it's a gift of the spirit. So it's like it's on loan from God. And God's healing energy simply flows through me and out.
Are you warm? Like if I were to touch your hands, would I feel something? Would I feel a shock or a temperature or something?
Well, if I put my hands on you, yeah, you might feel intensely cold. You could feel hot, and this could be like in just one place in your body. You might feel like a current of low voltage electricity running through you. And oftentimes when I put my hands on an animal, you know, they're especially with the horses because their eyes can go so wide, you know, they look at me like, whoa, what's that? So when I heal animals, I really try to start with a place that's not in pain, that isn't involved.
Okay, so that's interesting to me, the difference between animals and people, because a lot of times I think people, whether they believe or don't believe, is key to whether they heal or not. You know, some call it attitude, but it's more than that. If you really think this drug they're giving you is going to fix it, and the drug happens to be a fake, it might work anyway. We all know that. But you can't really do that with animals, can you? There's no placebo. An animal doesn't even know that the pill you hid in his meatball was there, right? So right. In your case, I guess the animals, if you can heal animals, they don't have faith, do they?
Well, I believe they've got souls. But you're right. When actually the angels work with God's healing energy that's coming through me, that animal has no expectations that it will be well afterwards or feel better.
Except, well, maybe the second time it would, but the first time
exactly.
Now what about with humans? If the human is skeptical, sarcastic, does that interfere, or can you heal them anyway?
Well, I can tell you a story if you'd like.
Yeah.
All right. I lived in Arizona for a while, and I had two mares. And the woman of the stable, she wanted to know what I did because nobody else had two horses there, and how could I afford to have two horses? And so I told her that I was a natural psychic and a healer, that I had written books, that I travel and teach classes, da-da-da-da-da. And she didn't keep that to herself. I didn't know it. She told everybody in the barn. And there was one woman especially who was very offended by what I did, and she wasted no time telling everybody that I was doing the devil's work. Well, one time I was at a Christmas party, and she was there, and apparently she was sitting on the couch opposite me, but I didn't notice her. And the hostess brought up her dog, and she put the dog in front of me, and she said, "Can you please work on my dog?" So I was working on the dog. And I didn't realize it until a week later that that woman that was sitting across from me that had nothing good to say about me had had a terrible, terrible sinus infection for months and months, and she was healed. That sinus infection completely left. And one of her friends came up to me and asked me, you know, can you please talk to her? She is so upset. And I said, sure. And a couple of days later, the woman came up to me. She'd gone to her minister. She was so upset that she'd been healed. And her minister told her, you know, there are gifts of the Spirit. It depends upon how they're used. And she still wasn't sold, and she wanted me to take it away. And I said, told her, I said, I don't know that I can undo God's work. And she accused me of casting a spell on her, and I said, no, the angels don't cast spells. And it was just quite incredible.
Very
so
strange.
I asked the angels in my head what to do, and they told me, just, you know, tell her that she's the one that's going to have to pray to make it go away. And she did, and apparently a few weeks later, she got her sinus problems back. So it works in all kinds of ways.
This is very strange to me. It's very strange to me as an outsider. I'm not Christian. I'm Jewish. To think that a gift of healing would be doubted as the devil's work when Jesus was a healer. I don't understand this.
Exactly. I don't understand it either, because that I think that the people that say that don't read the Bible, because Jesus was a Jew. He was an Essene Jew.
Well, and he was a healer. So why would healing be attributed to the devil and not God? I don't understand where they're making that leap, but I guess there are a lot of people out there who try to take your money and promise false things and maybe use God that way. And so I see where they're, you know, there have been people who've been arrested for this, as people have used television for this, where they're really false prophets,
exactly.
Right? False healers. And so, but with you, I'm wondering, I'm picturing you at this dinner party. This is sort of like what happens to me when I go to a dinner party. I'm introduced to everyone with a dog or cat problem, you know? Oh, mm-hmm. I want you to talk to my mom because her dog just, you know, he really, really isn't getting along with the grandkids. Oh, great. Am I going to get to relax? So I guess you get to see all the sick and the injured, and you get to hear all the sad stories when you're at parties. That's got to get tough.
Well, most people, you know, it's really hard for me to just tune in at a party. Sometimes I will, like with the dog, and you know, but you know, people have other agendas when they come to parties, so it's not too bad, and I don't mind. People know that they can call me, or they can make an appointment. I work on a donations are accepted basis, and I'm really good because people who call me, they don't pay until after the session. And they can pay whatever they want to. And oftentimes people, the most common donation I get is between $100 and $250. And they do that after they talk to me.
What kind of animals and animal illnesses have you helped with?
My horse, Bez, one time, I don't know what happened to his eye, but it was absolutely blue. He was blind. And I worked on him, and he could see the next day. His eye was normal. When I was in Ireland the last time, I stayed with Karen Milan, and she wrote a testimonial for me. And I was very, very busy. And her dog Rascal was older, and had really severe hip problems, really severe, that went into its back. You could not touch Rascal's back. So I tried. I tried every now and then. Rascal would come up to me, and maybe I'd work on her like 5 or 10 minutes at a time. By the time that I was ready to go, Kieran told me, she said, Rascal is running around this morning in circles.
Oh, that's impressive. You know, I want to ask you so much more, but we are running out of time. We only have a couple minutes left in this segment. And we're getting to the juicy stuff, like the animal soul and reincarnation. And how you know that you know this stuff. I'm dying to know. But before, just so people know, it's Kathleen Milner, Kathleen, capital MILNER.com, Kathleen Milner. And that's where you go to find out more. Okay, I asked you 4 questions and we have just seconds left. How do you know that they have souls? How do you know that?
I've seen them. One time, I saw my cat Muffin still leave. I had to have her put down. Her kidneys had completely were not working, and I saw her soul rise up out of her head, and everybody's soul rises out of their head when they die. And one time I.
Oh, Kathleen, how am I supposed
to?
I'm getting messages from the control room. I have to end, and we're talking about souls rising out of your head. I gotta hear more. Will you please come back on the show in the future? I'd love to have you back.
Well, it was fun talking to you.
Oh, good. Well, I hope you'll come back again. All right, everybody, Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pep Talk Radio. We have another guest coming up next, so I have to let Kathleen go, even though I don't want to. In the future, we'll have her back. If you want to see what she's all about, go to KathleenMilner.com. And in the meantime, Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk will continue after the break.
I'm your doggy, and I love you.
Hello, you're listening to Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio. And I do that noise, that howling greeting occasionally, but it's usually not to greet dogs. It's usually to greet people. And here we are on Smart Animal Talk. We're coming back to talk about moving and relocating and what you do when you have to relocate with your pets. If we finish up early, I will be telling you more on those SPCA interventions and the two very large puppy mill bus, and what happened with that and what's going on with that and how you can make sure you're not involved, because the second one wasn't just buying puppies or producing puppies and then selling them and treating them badly. They were also boarding dogs. So some people, one customer, in fact, the one that made the complaint, sent two dogs to this company when they went on holiday and got only one dog back. And we're told, oh, yeah, 10 days ago, your dog died. There was no vet report. There was no emergency call. There was nothing. So there's so many ways this is wrong and so many ways you can avoid all this if you do the right thing when you're investigating a boarding kennel or buying a dog. And for now, we've got a special topic today. We've got Linda from Precious Pets Transport coming to you to tell you, well, how to avoid some pitfalls when transporting your pet. Welcome to the show, Linda.
Thank you, Deb. Deborah, I appreciate you having me.
Oh, yeah, it's great to have you. So what can people do to make sure that they're doing the right thing when they move and maybe they don't want to have a, 26-hour car ride with their dog? How can they send their dog, their cat, whatever, along for the move safely?
Okay. Thank you. Today's topic is strictly what do you want to ask when you're looking for your pet transporter, specifically, when you're trying to vet companies. The first thing you want to remember when you're planning your move for your pet is to plan early. You want to try to start vetting companies about the same time that you're vetting companies to move your furniture. You want to basically go through that same process. There are specific questions you want to ask them, and every company has their own procedures. So you want to start by asking them, what are their procedures that you would need to follow. You want to ask them what type of vehicle that they drive, that the companies use. There are two different types of pet transporters out there. The first one would be a dog hauler. And that is specifically what it says. They're dog haulers. They use trailers that they pull behind their vehicles. And I know you've seen them going down the highways. Other companies out there like ours, we use various types of vans, anywhere from minivans up to different types of cargo vans that are specially outfitted with AC units, heat units, proper size kennels for the dogs, and bunk, and actually ours even have bunks in them so that the drivers can sleep within in the vans with the pets. You also want to ask the company, you know, how long have they been in business? You, and some of this you can look online to be able to see specifically, you know, how long a company has been in business. Some companies will tell you they have a combined experience of 34 years. And that's not really what you're looking for. You're looking for the operation of the company itself. The longer the company's been in business, obviously, the better procedures they have in place so that when the vehicle is on the road, if there is a problem that comes up, obviously, the more experience the company has, they'll know how to handle those problems.
Right.
That can
sure,
be anything because... from your pet being sick. Yes. I'm sorry.
No, I was just going to ask you, what kind of problems can come up?
Well, I know a lot of, for after 12 years, we have hit every kind of weather condition that you can possibly hit. Everything from tornadoes and trying to avoid them, to hail storms, to snowstorms, blizzards. It's phenomenal. The weather, you know, within the U.S., we can start out in Florida where it's sunny, and a pet might have to go to Washington, which... that's 3,500 miles. There's a lot of weather transitions that happen from one end to the other. And, you know, we here in the office, we keep our TV on so we can monitor the weather. We have weather programs on our computers so that we can see where our drivers are. And then that gives us an idea of what kind of weather that they're going into, when they need to stop. And when they just need to maybe get going just a little bit more quickly so that they can avoid something that's coming up behind them like a snowstorm.
What kind of pets do you transport? Is it everything?
We have done everything from a Moroccan screeching cockroach up to and including a 286-pound mastiff mix. Our Frank was huge. But we have done, we ourselves, I'm kind of afraid of snakes, so I won't take a snake.
I'm way more afraid of that cockroach than I am a Frank. I'll take 10 Franks over one of those cockroaches. That is,
exactly.
People have the strangest definitions of what a pet is, to my mind. Yeah, a bug, I don't get it. But, you know, other people think it's food. I don't know.
Yeah.
I kind of think it's something to be avoided mostly, cockroaches. It's like when you're surfing and you want to book a hotel and you see that, you keep moving. Someone does a review, they say cockroach. That's the only context I'm familiar with. not a choice, not a fashion choice.
Yeah.
I've seen them, though, on the runway in some of those TV shows where they make the model, some junior wannabe model, wear this hissing, horrible thing with bedazzled on their outfit just to see if they could do it. Good luck on that one. So what else can people do to make sure they research properly and they ask the right questions?
Well, one of the things you want to find out is what safety procedures do they have in place as far as if my pet gets sick? And then that does happen because the pets do get nervous. It's not like you can tell a pet, just relax, honey. In a couple of days, I'll see you on the other side. They're not, you know, they're kind of looking at you going, Mom, I see you're freaked out. Why are you freaked out? And so the pet starts to get nervous. And some pets don't have an internal, their internal reaction is not really, really good. And so they may exhibit symptoms. We call it deli belly. When they get on the road. So
they might be what? Panting, they might throw up, they might have diarrhea, something like that?
Exactly. Yes.
They get an upset tummy. They get stressed out. They see all their stuff moving. Their humans are really anxious. So one thing you can do to help this is don't be anxious. The most mellow person in the family should be taking the dog for the drop off. You know, don't be anxious because they don't know why you're anxious. They just think they're going somewhere, maybe forever, away from you. Try and pack something that smells like you, even an old sock that you slept with the night before. Stick that in there somewhere so they know they're meant to stay with you.
Yes.
If they see you pack up some stuff and you make sure they see you pack up their stuff too, that helps too. Dogs are smarter than you think when it comes to this stuff. So are cats.
Yes. Yes. A lot of times we have the whole family that shows up. When we show up to pick up the pets, the whole family is there. Grandma, grandfather, all the kids, aunts and uncles. And the pet just is standing there with this wide-eyed, you know, like, what's going on? And we pull up and we're like, okay, come on, get on the van.
It's too big a deal. It's too big a deal. They feel like, uh-oh, da-da-da-da. Yeah. You got to make it like it's no big deal.
Right. And it's hard when you're moving. You know, everybody that moves, it's so stressful as it is. And, you know, when they call us, people tell us, these are my family members. And that's the one thing that we, as a pet transporter, we have to understand that. Sometimes we get busy and bogged down with trying to handle everything. But the ultimate thing that we have to remember is that we have to have the care and the love for these pets, which is
why because it's not a chair. It's not a stool. You know, the replacement value may only be $50 for a cat from the pound, but it's memories. It's a personality in the family. They don't want to get to their new house and lose Rover. So, okay.
Exactly.
So you can find out more about Precious Pets Transport and talk with Linda yourself and find out how to get your pet safely from where you are now to where you're relocated to. And we've got Adopt a Shelter coming up next. We're going to find out what we're going to do. We're going to go a different route. Not horses. We did that. Not dogs. We've done that. Not cats. We've done that. Oh, whatever could I be talking about? A peculiar little creature that I'm really, 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 I hope you don't get for your kid this spring. Yeah, coming up next on Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio. Stay tuned with me, Deb Wolf.
I'm your doggy.
I'm your doggy.
And I love you.
Listening to Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio with me, Deb Wolf. And I do want to tell you a little bit more. There was another big bust in BC, second biggest ever. The first biggest ever was just a couple of weeks ago now. And the first was a puppy mill. The second was a puppy mill / horrible conditions kennel. And people had actually sent their dogs there and not got them back. That's how bad it was. They weren't doing proper vet checks. The place wasn't licensed. If you're going to board your dog somewhere, you go there. Go there and look at it. Don't just look on the online or by word of mouth. Actually walk it. Bring your dog and check it out. And don't accept the idea that there's secret areas, secret rooms. If they're escorting you into their home and you're not seeing the kennel, you're only seeing some kind of reception area and you can see barns and sheds. No, you want to see where the dogs are, okay? And they need to be checking you out. If they're not demanding from you paperwork from your vet, and an information sheet, including emergency contact numbers, they aren't going to call you if there's an emergency because they didn't even get the information. If they didn't demand from you vaccine paperwork, then they didn't demand it from anyone else. Now you've got a serious worry about contagion. So when you're boarding your dog, there are many reputable places, and we all have to obey the rules, which are designed to keep things really clean and well, you know, so the dogs can come home healthy and well. And if they're not doing that, if they're not licensed, if they're not insured, if it's not clean, if you can't see it all, it's not for you. Don't do it. So I'm really glad the SPCA is getting active at busting these businesses that are kind of pretending to be something they're not, so the rest of us can do the good job taking care of your animals. And now we're going to turn to Adopt a Shelter with Chris Rubin. He's figured out a way you could buy the stuff you always do online and without costing you anything extra, do some good in the world for animals. And today I kind of led into this. I said, don't get one for your kid in spring. Okay, it's not that I don't like them. I do. But at Camp Good Dog, I've unfortunately rescued quite a few and I have a couple now. And people get them and then they don't want them anymore. And that's a big problem. There's other problems too. And I know Chris is going to tell us all about it with his guest, Layla, who's from Bunny World. Oh, what a kid's dream to go there for a birthday party to Bunny World. But I'm sure it's a little harder to keep things moving there. And so we want to do our best to help you help Bunny World by shopping online the way you usually do. And that's where Chris Rubin comes in. Thank you for joining us again, Chris.
And thank you, as always, for having me, Deb. You know, it's always great to talk to you and the folks. And I'd like to ask all the folks, did you know that February is Adopt a Rescued Rabbit Month? And did you know that rabbits, to build on your earlier statement, rabbits are the third most populous animals found in animal shelters? So without further ado, I do want to introduce you to Layla. She is the founder of Bunny World Foundation. I promised her I wouldn't butcher her name on the air, so now I'm actually not going to even try. Wonderful.
Oh, I want to try. I want to try. Layla. Okay.
Hadzimaratovich.
How's that?
Butchered it pretty badly. It's Hadzimaratovich.
What is
it? Thank you for trying.
Try again? Can I hear it again?
Layla Hadzimaratovich.
Oh, that's a beautiful name, Layla. Okay, and you're coming to us from Bunny World. So tell us about what's going on at Bunny World.
Well, there's plenty going in Bunny World. We have 300 foster homes spread out from San Diego to Santa Barbara, and we take about 500 to 700 bunnies a year and house them and look for great homes for them. We currently have 4 bunnies rushed to an emergency room this morning, so there's always hustle and bustle since we work with the city shelters. We're partners with LA Animal Services, and they call us whenever there's a bunny on a red list, which means basically it's going to be killed because of lack of space, or it's the bunny on the blue list, which will be killed because they cannot medically treat it. So we take over and hopefully do the best job we can, which we pretty much do every time. But there's a 24-hour emergency in Bunny World, so that's what we do. We take care of LA's rabbits.
How did you get into this, Layla?
Not intentionally. I did not wake up one day and said, I'm going to save the bunny world. So I had a pretty full life, 3 careers, and one morning I accepted a call from another organization, basically to check out the garment district downtown because some birds were dying in some hot cages. And I actually went there for birds, not knowing I will encounter
birds. You mean they were they kept birds for feathers or down? Is that what the situation was?
No, they were basically, after I uncovered the entire operation, it was illegal animal sales of unweaned puppies, unweaned bunnies, unweaned kittens, and turtles that were obviously illegal to sell because they were too tiny and most infected with salmonella. And of course, you know, reptiles. They even found snakes, all kinds of lizards, and it was a disaster. I thought I was in the middle of Thailand somewhere, or somewhere in Africa, not
and
in
the stench must have been excruciating.
It was not the stench. It was just that all these animals were about to die because, you know, they were sold unweaned, and
a pet online or something, and they get it home and it dies because it's an infant that needed its mother. Is that?
Well, they were selling them on the side on the sidewalk, which was even worse because they were exposed to elements, to sun.
Heat.
And when I brought it to the attention of the sellers, I was attacked by 30 gang members, and it became like a huge incident. I didn't intend to become a hero that day, but apparently LA Times and LA Weekly and everybody else and their mother contacted me, and it was sort of like a point of no return. I discovered something that was more terrible than I thought it was, and the rest is history. 6,000 bunnies later, 5 years later, we've managed to dismantle the entire ring. And even though they're not selling puppies and kittens and bunnies right now, they're still selling turtles and birds, and they're still being abused in the LA Fashion District.
Wait, was there a link between the bunnies and the clothing?
No, they were sold as pets, actually. I know it sounds fascinating because it's a LA Fashion District, but They were literally 10-day-old bunnies, eyes closed oftentimes, that kids would be lured into buying, parents would buy them, and the next day they would die a very violent death. I mean, literally screaming like little children.
Oh, and, you know, there was just something on the news today that some people in Argentina on a beach grabbed an infant dolphin out of the water because the mom and the baby were swimming close to shore, passed it around, took selfies with it, and it died because they kept it out of the water so long. I think sometimes we just don't get it that an animal baby is a baby and it needs a mama or it doesn't survive. This is just not something you mess with. It's real cute to see the monkey that's bonded to the human because it was taken away from its own mother. But at age of maturity, that pet becomes a nightmare. So what's the point anyway? And oftentimes they die. They just need their mom. So with bunnies, it just sounds so terrible. They're starving, right?
Yeah, well, it was a scam, basically. They were just telling people that these were miniature dwarf rabbits. But and they still sell them in particular areas. They were banned from the L.A. Fashion District, but they have moved and rotated to unknown areas. So we catch them from time to time. Sometimes pet stores sell them as miniature rabbits, and people believe they exist, which they don't. They're babies. And that's a really difficult kind of myth to dispel, because there are no such things as miniature rabbits that can fit into palm of your hand. Those are babies.
You know what? And there's so much of that with the reptile. You walk into the store, you tell them what they want. Oh, look, they have what you want. You know, and they say it'll never grow bigger than the cage. That's not true.
Right. And same thing with turtles. You know, they buy these, you know, 1-inch long turtles, and all of a sudden, you know, they're stuck. They're stuck, you know, and they're dead because they have no space.
So yeah. Chris, how can we help? Because I know bunnies reproduce, like they say, like bunnies. So you got the whole L.A. area and all these bunnies. How can we help, Chris?
Well, there's a couple of ways. One of the things that we've done is we've partnered with Layla and Bunny World Foundation, and she's going to be participating this coming weekend in the Southern California Pet Expo that will happen in Pomona. So all of your folks listening in the Southern California region that has anything to do with or knowledge of Bunny World Foundation, Layla's going to be there in person with her team and bringing lots of bunnies that are available for adoption, some of which will actually be on our website, our Facebook page later. But Layla, here's what I want to talk to you about, because part of what we talk about on this segment are special needs animals. And I know that you started off by saying, hey, there's a lot of hustle and bustle because we have these color-coded animals. I want to talk about a little bit, what are some of the special needs that bunnies have?
Oh, my goodness. I mean, a lot of people are not aware that, you know, bunnies are in kind of a similar situation as cats and dogs. I mean, we have bunnies that are paralyzed waist down that are in our foster care. One of them is called George, and he's a sweet little guy, again, rescued from North Central LA Animal Services. We have a little Archie, for example, that has a malocclusion, and he needs his incisors teeth trimmed. Every month, he almost died at the shelter because, you know, they didn't really know what his deal was, because he couldn't eat and he was losing weight. We have bunnies that have eye issues, glaucoma, that need special drops 3-4 times a day in order not to take eye out. I mean, you name it. We have senior rabbits that need bathing constantly and monitoring their bladder and sometimes expressing it. And you know, certain things happen from time to time where unknown wounds from the past flourish into abscesses that need constant monitoring for lumps and removal of abscesses and surgeries. And, you know, typically we have at least 2-3 bunnies a month that amount to like $2,000 each when it comes to their surgeries or hospitalization and treatment. So they are very high-maintenance pets. And that's why we cringe when people buy them for Easter and thinking,
So glad you're saying that, Layla, because we're coming to the end of the program. And I just, you know, people see them in magic acts and they see them on TV advertising everything. What can people do if they want a bunny for around Easter time, but don't want to contribute to the problem?
Take time to research. Remember, it's a 14-year commitment, 10 to 14-year commitment. Bunnies, I mean, you need to have a budget. You need to understand what you're getting into. They need space. They are like high-maintenance women. They really need a lot.
The mani-pedi. Yes, totally. Okay, well, thank you for joining us today, Layla and Chris. I wanted to ask you, I've run out of time. Why do they do that where they flop and they look unconscious or dead when a dog scares them? What is that? Can you explain it quickly?
I don't really know that they just flop and get relaxed. Normally, bunnies flop when they're completely relaxed. I don't see a lot of cases. I don't really know that they could have a heart attack and never really raised from that position. I'm not quite sure that they just flop to pretend.
Oh, see, you know, what's happened is the dogs will stir one up, my kids will think it's dead. I'll grab it, I'll save it, I'll put it in a pen, and it'll just revive and be fine a half an hour later.
They get hypnotized, I believe, and it's more of a shock to the system. So I don't believe they do it consciously. I think they get so scared, and some never raise after that, I believe.
Oh, that's terrible. Okay. Well, I'm glad the ones I've had have made it along. I always wonder why a bunny would jump into or dig under and go into a yard full of dogs. It's sort of like a bunny suicide. But you know what? Like you say, they need a lot of care and a lot of protection. There's a lot of things that want to eat them out there. You can't just put them in your backyard. They'll dig out of the cage. Coyotes will come. You need a lot of care. So check out Bunny World, and we'll have Chris Rubin on again next week. We have to go to break at Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio. Thank you so much, Layla.
No problem. Thank you for having me.
Thank you, Layla. Thank you, Chris.
You're welcome.
I'm your doggy.
I'm your doggy.
And I love you.
Hello, you're listening to Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio. I'm looking at the window and I'm watching a Schnauzer daycare customer completely wrestling, pummeling, trouncing one of my standard poodles, a dog named Cinnamon Teddy Bear, who's more like Cinnamon Muddy Bear right now. They're having a great time wrestling and playing. They're both adolescents, but, you know, they got different shaped ears. One has a not quite upright, but small ear that flops over, isn't too hairy, isn't too deep. The other one has the big, giant, standard poodle ears with the big, warm, deep canals that grow hair and need to be maintained. And, oh, it sounds like work. If it sounds like work, it probably is. It is work. That's why we get our dogs professionally groomed. But not all ears are alike, and their ears are not like our ears. So we're going to have Becky Starr come join us today to tell us all about dog ears. Welcome to the show, Becky.
Hi, good morning. Happy animal world out there.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm watching these two goof around in the yard, which, of course, you know, the rain is letting up for the moment, but the mud is ever present this time of year. And I'm sure you're going to tell me it's 80 degrees on the beach there over in California.
Actually, sure I thought you'd be very happy about this. We actually have had rain for two days.
Yes, yes.
And
my tail's wagging.
Yeah, your tail's wagging.
Get a hot chocolate. Oh, yeah. Yeah, you know, people joke, why is there a Starbucks on every corner? You know why? Because it's freezing here and it rains all the time. That's why. But in the summer, it's really, really, really beautiful. And the dogs don't care. Like these two dogs right now, they're having a blast. Earlier today at Camp Good Dog, there were golden retrievers swimming in the rain, in the pond, in winter. Like, they don't care. They don't care. It's fine for them.
It's a fun time. But yeah, I thought that would make you happy. I've had rain for 2 days. So my voice is a little bit gruffy today. This damp weather on the ocean comes in and, you know,
oh, again,
does a little
she's
bit
complaining
of
about her beachfront place, everybody. Yeah. Oh, must be hard living on the ocean. I can't imagine. What a dreary existence. You must have to watch the ships go by. And,
oh, I know.
Terrible.
And I have to walk the dogs along the beach every day. And, you know,
and then there's the riffraff like me who come visit on weekends. How do you put up with it? Well, okay.
So okay. So how
here,
we put up with it is that we listen, right? We
are going
to
talk
another
about ears, though, because, you know, sometimes ears take a lot of maintenance. I've seen Cocker Spaniels with scrunchies in their ears to hold their ponytails up, you know, ears like a ponytail to get the air at them. I've seen dogs who chronic ear infections. They're always changing the diet to try and figure out why, and sometimes that does work. But and then you got the poodles, which for me is just about maintenance. It's about cleaning, and you get that Q-tips right in there. So let's talk about ears, because not all dogs are alike, and they're certainly not like us.
No, I mean, I'm a big fan of ears. I think besides they're funny, they're expressive. You know, they kind of take on a personality of their own, and they're just so cute. And I know all of us pet guardians out there are getting in and rubbing them and touching them, and they're, you know, we're always on their ears. And believe it or not, a dog and cat's hearing, their sense of hearing, is if people aren't aware of this, significantly greater than us humans. They're capable of perceiving frequencies about twice that of a normal human. They can pick up and distinguish sounds roughly four times that of a human. So in simple terms, what that means is what you can hear at about 20 feet, a dog or cat can hear roughly at about 80 feet, which is pretty impressive and definitely a safety guard. Because I don't know about you, but many times when I'm out there walking my dog, you know, I can see his whole body language change and his back comes up and the senses are going. And, you know, I know that he can either hear or smell something that I'm not seeing or smelling or hearing. And so, you know, it's a great protective instinct.
Well, and that's the peace of mind, right? Every dog owner knows if the dog doesn't bark, you don't have to wake up out of your sleep. You don't have to worry that there's an intruder because the dog would bark. I mean, that's your early warning system. He hears it before you do.
That's right. And the same thing when you're walking them. You'll see them slow down. You know, that they can sense something coming up in a bush or on a corner, or they don't want to walk a certain way. And, you know, this is, believe it or not, you know, it's the second most intense of all the senses in a dog and a cat. Now, also, what I'm not, you know, a lot of people don't know is that their little ears are like hot spots. In the human world, we could say the G-spot, right? They're like acupressure
points. Can we, Becky? I don't know. We're going to find out when it's replayed. We see if that stays there. Okay, then. Moving right along.
Throw that one out there at you. yes, the tip of the ears of your dog or cats is full of nerve endings, and they're very, very sensitive. And in acupressure, and like acupuncture, there's acupressure. There's points of the body that you can touch that instantly create a sensation. Well, the tips of your cat's and dog's ear are that most sensitive spot in their body. You can, if they're stressed out, if they're breathing too hard, or if they're maybe having a seizure or something, trauma happened, or you just need them to calm down, if when they're sitting by you or in a crisis, just start rubbing the tips of their ears. You will see pretty much every animal will instantly relax. And
okay, but so, you know what? If the dog is not some dog you know, that is an over-the-head type of movement. So you want to make sure this is not about, like, if the dog's being aggressive with you and that's why he's tense, you don't want to reach up over his head and grab his ears. That's not going to go over. So just make sure we're talking about your dog.
No, we're talking about your own dog.
Right?
Yeah.
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 Not,
because
not
and
going
also
up to stranger dogs.
Sexual things, and I've brought this up on air before, and I've had experts argue with me, but I see over and over and over and over again, and perhaps it's because of the sensitivity you're talking about, that ear touching, licking, nuzzling, all that is really a huge part of sex play with dogs and cats. And in spayed and neutered cats, especially rival males, that's often what leads, it's the last thing before they scrap. One of them licks the other's ears, and then they do it a little too much, and then the other one just goes nuts on him. So, I mean, you kind of, I totally agree with you when you're talking about your own dog, and he's maybe stressed out about a car ride or a thunderstorm or something like this. But if you're complicating it a little bit, if you've got, you know, other animals involved or a dog that doesn't like you, then ease up on that. But, yeah, totally. The ears are really sensitive, aren't they?
They are. And I absolutely am right there with you. I don't promote going up to a strange dog for any reason, nor putting your hand out there or more touching them. They don't like it unless you know the dog or you're helping them in a crisis or something like that. No, you let the dog, you know, decide who you are. I'm not about sticking your hands in strange dog faces or over their head. and getting into their space. You're kind of, you know, taking the red flag up there.
You know what else about the ear, though? If you're listening to this and you say to yourself, well, when I do that, my dog winces or he shakes away or he won't ever let me touch his ears. Okay, you got to go to the vet because that's not
cool. Exactly.
There's something going on there, right?
Yeah.
They should like it. They should be leaning into you and moaning and that kind of thing.
That's right. So that's kind of what we're going to do, kind of quick tips of what you're looking for, right? Ear problems are one of the top routine reasons why our pets visit the veterinarians. And many suffer with painful and unpleasant conditions for sometimes really long periods of time before you even notice or it gets treated. And remember always, I always say this to you guys, Mother Nature is not going to take care of your pet anymore. They are not out in the wild. You are Mother Nature. You must know what you're looking for. You must know your dog. You must take care of their situations. So the first thing you need to know is, what do my pet's ears look like? Healthy. Are they, you know, nice and healthy and pink? Are they smooth? Are they free of odor?
Ooh, and you know what else? What do they smell like healthy?
The odor.
Because
yep.
That's the big one for me. I could smell an ear infection on someone else's dog about 4 feet away, usually.
Yep.
It's a particular smell.
Yep, it is. And so that's the first thing we all need to know. Everybody today, you're going to go look at your pet's ears and see what they look like. And if they're healthy, you're going to know what they look like healthy because that way it gives you something to compare to. Some of the quick tips that you're going to see are, let's say, what you were just mentioning, ear infections. Usually an ear infection can show itself by being kind of red and inflamed. It has a distinct odor. It's warm to the touch. It can be painful to the touch. It can be your animal's tilting their head to one side or another, or they're excessively shaking their head. If there's a yellow color, a pus drainage, or they're constantly scratching or rubbing their ears up against something, or you notice they're not hearing as well, you're pretty much looking at an infection. Those are kind of your symptoms. Now, let's say that you're dealing with an allergy, which, by the way, allergies, the most common cause of ear problems is allergic reactions of some sort caused by food, ingredients, environmental irritants, pollen, dust even. And usually that will show itself by being itchy, inflamed in their ears and paws. And so, you know, they're constantly rubbing or itching, or again, you have this distinct odor of kind of a yeasty sweet smell because most of the allergies that come into the ear are from a yeast-based environment when it kind of has a sweet yeasty smell to it. Now, one of the things I want to go back to for a minute is while I was telling you all those symptoms about ear infections, those can also be a sign to look inside your dog's ear. Maybe some debris got into the ear, like the foxtails or plant-ons or other debris that have
lodged
down
like something from a plant, like a burr, sticks, mm-hmm. little tiny needles from an evergreen tree. Stuff like that gets caught in there all the time, and it's so simple to get it out of there. And I wanted to say, when you are looking at your dog's ear, if you've ever been a parent and you've been really worried about, oh, don't stick anything smaller than an elbow in a baby's ear, and you hear all these things about how you can't clean out an ear with a Q-tip, it's a little bit different with a dog anatomy. A dog's eardrum and ear canal is not straight like a human. And I know you know this, Becky, but the listeners might not. In a human, if you go too far, you can hurt the human really badly. In a dog, there's like a sharp turn at the end, like an elbow. So I'm not suggesting you go deep, 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 not at all. But it's not the same anatomy. You can swab out a dog's ear with a Q-tip, or your finger wrapped in gauze, you can flush, there are products. So you needn't worry the same way you would with a baby or a child that, you know, you have to be extra, extra careful to only do the outside. In fact, with my poodles, I get right in there with Q-tips and I get all the dirty wax out and clean it all out, rub the outside of the ear. I often do this right before I'm going to the vet so he won't tell me to do it when I get there and make me feel bad. But I do it in between too because you know what? They're dragging those big floppy ears through the brush, through the mud, all over each other. They're getting dirty, right?
That's right. And part of what you were saying, it goes back again with, you know, when you're looking in there, you know, get a flashlight, look down in there. You know, if you see a foxtail or something stuck down there and you feel confident that you can reach it without damage, okay. But, you know, if you feel it's way down deep and you can't tell, maybe it has some, you know, prickly thorns that if you pull it out, it could do more damage. You know, you want to be safe and take them to the vet. Let them take them out if you don't feel confident about what you're doing. Another big indicator with the ear are discharges. Like a heavy wax buildup in the ear that's kind of a dark brown to black, but very waxy, usually indicates a yeast problem, like we were talking. But a dark brown to black that's dry can indicate mites. A cheesy discharge usually is kind of a bacteria, where it actually looks cheesy and clumpy, and that can mean bacteria. A white discharge indicates candida, which is a very strong case of a yeast problem. So discharges can be an indicator. Parasites.
But your vet will figure it out so fast. They'll swab
That's right.
They'll know exactly what it is, and then they'll treat it. And it's not like thousands of dollars. Not at all.
No.
But you don't want to not treat it and end up with a real expensive issue and maybe hearing impairment. And you know what? I mean, I've had an ear infection before in my life. Anyone who's ever been on a plane with a baby who has a cold and then goes up and gets, oh my God, the screaming, right? It's not cool. Your dog doesn't need to suffer like that.
They don't.
The dogs who swim every day and stick their heads under the water to look for stuff on the bottom, they really do need you to help them out with this ear maintenance deal.
They do. And so, you know, it's really watching for these indicators. When you see them rubbing, scrubbing, you know, scratching, itching, red, painful, lifting, you know, anything is an indicator that there's something going on in their ears. And don't take the risk, because these ears are pretty important to them. And, you know, you can take them to the vet. They can find out what it is pretty quickly. Even certain conditions, you know, can be a hormone disorder. Hypothyroidism can do, like you were mentioning, a lot of hair in their ears. When you start seeing a lot of hair loss, let's say that your dog has a lot of hair in their ear, and suddenly there's a lot of hair loss. This can be a problem with the ear.
I've had quite a few customers where the dog was treated over and over and over for ear infections, to the point where they weren't letting their lab or their golden swim in the ocean. They were so bummed out, you know, they'd have to keep it on leash when they took it to the beach in the winter and such things. And I would suggest to them, and after a while the vets were too, let's try it to figure out the diet, because sometimes it's a combination.
Yes,
if the dog swims every day and the food he's on has something in it that just predisposes that dog to have yeast problems, instead of like maybe with an adult woman, you might have the yeast problem somewhere else, they're going to get it in their ears. And it's there anyway. They're supposed to have a little bit of yeast in their body anyway. But if it gets out of whack sometimes, and I've had this so many times where it was just changing the specific ingredients. So they didn't even have to start cooking for the dog. They didn't even have to go to some elaborate change. They just had to change that particular blend or the brand or
That's
the
right.
preservative.
And
you know,
usually,
there was just something setting the dog off that made it predisposed to getting the condition over and over and over. And you know what? Your dog being treated for a condition it doesn't even have to have if you just switch the food. Right?
That's right. That's right. And most times you'll find allergies or and yeast or food is the number one problem. And if you just get rid of the wheat, soy, and corn, you'll usually find the problem pretty quickly. And you'll see a difference immediately in that stinky ears and the constant problems of having to clean them. Because in reality, a dog, a healthy dog's ear, does not need to be cleaned. It's better to leave it normal so the pH stays in a natural environment balance and it doesn't disrupt things. Now, if your dogs are healthy ears, like when I throw mine in the bath every week, I take a little washcloth or a baby child's washcloth, wrap it around my finger, take it, rub it down in there, clean it out a little bit, and that just makes me feel better, right? But if your dogs are healthy ears, you don't need to be in there and digging, and you want to be careful in the ear canal.
That's like, true. You know, the difference between the way I treat my Blue Heeler and the way I treat my standard poodles is huge. The Blue Heeler's never had his ears cleaned. They don't smell bad. They don't look bad. They don't need it. He's got little tiny upright ears that, you know, really different situation. But with my standard poodles who live on a farm and swim every day with those deep canals and that big, hairy, beautiful top knot coat, it is an issue. And I've never, my teddy, the cinnamon teddy bear, he's never had an ear infection. Raspberry, his mother, has never had an ear infection. So it's not that they have a problem, but I'm on it. Because if you do have a dog with a deep, long ear, like a Cocker Spaniel, and it's swimming every day and it's diving every day, you're probably nodding your head because you've got a maintenance plan because you have to.
You do, especially with the droopy ear dogs. The minute that ear folds, you have a perfect environment for yeast, bacteria. It's warm, it's moist. Everything lives in there happy, which is why you see people put little scrunchies up and get the ear, let some air in, you know, their dog's ears. I've done it myself. Same with a dog that swims all the time. They're keeping it a moist environment. Same with, you know, a dog who's having allergies with food. You're keeping a moist environment. You know, you get that dried up, you get some changes made in there, and then, you know, you have your dogs should have pretty healthy ears. But the long droopy dog ears or the fold over dog ears, usually those are your main problems that you do see. So, you know, that's
now,
kind
if
of
people
what
have
doing.
A dog that, see, sometimes, and this is what I wanted to cover too, because we talked about if your dog won't let you touch his ears and he won't.
Yes.
Sometimes he's okay now, but years ago he had a problem. You just rescued this dog and you know he doesn't have an ear problem. The vet said there's nothing wrong with him. And yet, he won't let you touch his ears because once upon a time there was an issue and someone didn't deal with it properly. Or once upon a time he had chronic pain there, right?
Right.
So
yeah.
Now he doesn't realize that it won't hurt when you touch them. So something like that, there's a really easy way to get around it. You just go little by little by little. Once in a while, you make it almost like an accident that you brush by his ears. And little by little, you touch him more. As you're touching everywhere else on him, you accidentally touch his ear, give him a cookie. Do that a few times a day, a few times a week, more and more and more until he wants you to touch his ears. He just hasn't figured out that it doesn't hurt anymore. So that's
right.
All you got to do.
Yeah, so they've had some kind of trauma in their life, like you said, whether it's, you know, a dog fight or a human or an accident or something. My dog has gotten their ear caught on a branch on a tree and came running to me with blood squirting everywhere because it caught and, you know, like a rose bush and ripped the edge of her ear open. So, you know, you never know, you know, where their trauma has come from or how they're feeling about their ears. So it's like you said, it's a desensitization. It's just being aware of their ears, looking at them, knowing when there's a problem and addressing it when you can. And once you learn, like your dogs, once you learn their problems, then it's easy to maintain with little gauze, little dry absorbent powder. There's so many products out there right now. Again, do your homework.
And ask your breeder, ask your vet, ask, you know, when you're there for the yearly exam, or if you have a senior dog, maybe you're going twice a year for an exam, have a list with you of the questions you meant to ask, because that's a good question to ask. What do I need to do? If you've got a dog with big droopy ears or you have a problem that keeps recurring, then instead of just going in whenever it recurs and dealing with it, ask the vet, what can I do to avoid this from now on? Because there are things you could do. And sometimes the vets don't tell you because they don't necessarily realize how often you're coming in, or they're not maybe aware that you're willing to do part of this, you know, because sometimes they think you just want a pill. You just want a quick fix. And maybe you are willing to shift the food or do a diet trial or, you know, try an alternative treatment. Maybe you are. So you may as well mention it. I want to talk about ears because I was happy to see that was your topic today, because we've had the biggest arrest in British Columbia history about 10 days ago, a puppy mill seizure where it was 66 dogs. And I was announcing on the air last week, 32 puppies, 34 puppies, 32 dogs. And I was giving out the SPCA number because they wanted information. They're not looking for information anymore. They have found quite a few of the people involved. And now there's been a second bust, unrelated but possibly related, through a buyer. Through a user, rather. So someone went to board their dogs at a kennel, didn't check it out properly, I'm assuming, or were shown only part of the place. The place wasn't licensed, wasn't clean, wasn't adequate. The dogs were being mistreated. They sent two little dogs there. They only got one back. They weren't even called when the dog got injured, ill, or sick, or died. And later they were told it died. No explanation, no papers, nothing. The whole thing is just so horrible. Thank God the SPCA went there. And now they've cut down on them too. So now they're out of business. And that was a boarding kennel slash puppy mill. And you know what? You got to look. If you're going to send your dog somewhere, even if you have to get a taxi, even if some way, I mean, my operation, we offer pickup and delivery for all our customers. But we still recommend the very first time you should come here. You should come here with your dog and check us out. And if you want to see whatever you want to see, if you want to look at our chicken coop, we'll let you. You can look at everything here because there's nothing to hide. That's what you need to do. Whether you're buying a dog or boarding a dog or anything to do with dogs, you want to go there and check it out.
Just
so,
like your children, huh, Deb? Would anybody just drop off their children in front of somebody's house? You know,
or look on a website. Look on a website and then have them come and pick it up. And you don't know. I mean, a lot of these places, I've been to there's a rival kennel near here that keeps the dogs in sheds and garages and that type of thing. But their front facade is gorgeous. It's a beautiful log home. I got news for you. Your dog isn't staying in the beautiful log home. For one thing, it can't because that's not regulation. You need cement runs so you don't get diseases. You need to be able to hose things off. You know, animals need a certain standard of care, and that's why the bylaws are the way they are. And that's why if you're sending your dog to a place that looks more like a house and is sort of scooting around the bylaws and isn't fully licensed, don't do it. It's not the right place to go. A good place is going to make you fill out forms. You're going to have to prove your dog is fully vaccinated every year. If they don't do that, they're not doing that for anyone else. There's going to be illnesses and sicknesses. So you got to look at that. A good place is going to be fully licensed and above board and, you know, inspected when the inspectors want to come. Everything is going to be above board. If it's not, then you don't want to go there. So really, really do your homework when it comes to this stuff. Becky, I know you've got a huge reach with all your magazines. Have you ever covered this topic before?
Yes. There's probably not a topic left unturned. We've been at 18 years. So we're always on top of the stories, on top of the news, whether it's in the magazines or on our social media trends, bloggers, etc. So, our whole goal and mission is about animal wellness. You know, healthy, happy, safe is a big one that you're mentioning, and alternative options. You know, so anybody who'd like to copy, they can always reach you, and we'll be happy to send them anything about a dog, cat, horse, or veterinarian. That's a topic that hits my heart, Deb, of people have to just always remember, treat your animals the same way you would treat your children and a family member that you love, and there's no exceptions to that.
Well, I hope people will be more careful because it's all about the customer. It's all about the pet owner doing their due diligence because, you know, what's going to happen now probably in our area is there will be recommendations for harsher regulations, which will just make the good guys pay more money to the government and jump through more hoops. The bad operators will still exist. They'll still cheat. These people weren't licensed in the first place, the two places they just busted. It's not that the rules aren't hard enough. It's that they don't give a hoot. And they're misleading people. So they've already said that in these two cases, they have alternate locations, other adult owners, because these were families, but other adult owners implicated, that they're going to be possibly, you know, just moving and setting up somewhere else. I mean, the two people who were arrested last week faced the prospect of $75,000 fine, 5 years in jail, and lifetime ban on animals. But that's only here. They can move, you know, and the people who were associated with them weren't caught yet. So, and now the next one, okay, she's been busted, seems to be unrelated. A woman was accused, at least. And, you know, it's just the people have to know. When you send your dog somewhere, check it out. You know, if someone asks me for a vet reference, I can give you the vet I always use. I can also probably give you one in your area. I can give you a few choices. I've been in business a while. I should be able to give you a few veterinarians who either use me for their own dogs or approve of me for their customers or just know me from me coming in there with animals on occasion who needed their care that were customers of theirs. You know, you should be able to check on people. And there's nothing wrong with asking. And
the same with the... And there's lots of places, I'm sure, out here we have, you know, Yelp. There's so many things on the internet that you can find out about somebody, and if you can't track them on the internet, there's something wrong nowadays. If you can't find some history, or like you said, you know, if I was going to see you, I'd come see your facility. I'd ask you all kinds of questions. I'd probably want to talk to some of your regular customers. I'd want to know that you were certified for emergencies, you know, and first aid, and, you know, that you were set up. I mean, my dogs are my children. People need to educate themselves and not just trust what they see, as you mentioned.
Well, and even with me, at one point last year, the SPCA came here for a visit, and they checked everything. And that's okay. They did it about, I don't know, 5 years earlier and one other time since I've been in business. And that's okay. I got calls from my neighbor's text. Are you okay? The SPCA's in your parking lot. Of course I'm okay. Oh, Lou, well, we're having tea. What do you mean? We're fine, right? Yeah, exactly. People should, you know, and anybody can do a real slick website. But if they're not licensed.
That's right.
Then they're, why? Why not? Why are they not licensed? And they're not insured either. Okay, what's with that? And now what else is amiss? So really, really check, do your homework when you're buying a pup or boarding a dog or using any pet care service. You know, the idea that, oh, it's a little old lady who takes a couple dogs into her home. Okay, does she have transportation herself to get to the vet? Can she take your dog to the vet if there's a problem? Like all these sorts of things. I mean, it's 24/7 care when you board an animal. So unfortunately, sometimes it's really draining for me. Two New Year's ago, I spent the whole night on the floor with a dog who'd had a stroke and waiting for the owners to get home. They were delayed and they didn't want the dog to be at the overnight care and they didn't want it to be an emerge because it was stable and they wanted to spend the last hours with it. It was a really ailing old dog, you know, and I was doing, you know, but that's what it's like. So you need to go to a business that really does have staff on every day and every night.
And know what they're doing.
And give you the choice. Call you up when the dog has another stroke and says to you, do you want me to take it to the emergency clinic or do you want me to bring it home? Gives you that option. Even though, yeah, you're on holiday, you can choose not to be disturbed. But if you choose because you want to know, you'll know. I'll call you on the way to the vet. I'll call you at the vet and I'll call you after the vet. And I'll let you be part of this because that's your right, I think. This lady coming home and finding out when she only gets sent home the one dog, that her other dog died 10 days earlier, that's horrific. And you don't want that. So you've got to do your homework. You've really, really, really got to do your homework. There's people in this business who truly love pets, and that's who you want to find, right?
And they're going to be doing things about it. Use those senses. Use those eyes. Use those ears to listen and, you know, smell around, sniff around.
Yeah, and make a couple calls. That, I think, is really critical. I was selling puppies recently. I had a litter right around the time. There were still two left, already sold but not picked up yet, when this scandal came down with this, you know, puppy mill where they did have a standard poodle female, at least shown in some of the footage. They were accused of breeding other dogs, Wheaton Crosses and Bernese Mountain Dogs and Sheepdogs, but you did see it. So I got all these calls, you know, no one accusing me or anything like that, but just asking me, like, how do we know and what, you know, would you come on radio and talk about it and educating the public, that kind of thing. But it really, you know, it really hits home that a few bad players can really make it hard for the good players. So, but the vet reference is absolutely key. So when I had these two puppies still left, I did a little more checking than I normally would. I normally visit the home. I check out the people. I get them to give me a vet reference if they've ever had a pet before, which means they have to call the vet and tell the vet it's okay to talk with me. Then I call the vet and ask them about them. Were their pets always vaccinated? Were their pets taken care of? Did they spend the money when their pets needed care? Did they, you know, this kind of thing. Would you say they're good owners? If you were selling a dog, would you adopt one to them? Okay, don't be upset that a breeder's checking like that. If they're not checking like that, what else aren't they checking? What else don't they care about? If the vaccine paperwork you're getting isn't from a vet clinic that you could call and investigate, it's maybe their brother or themselves. You got to wonder about that. Why aren't they having their pets, their puppies, looked at by an independent veterinarian? Why not? I do, right?
Well, absolutely. So, and a valid breeder has their whole team set up. They know exactly what they do, when they do it, how they do it, and they usually use one veterinarian for the whole history. you know, of reliable
Absolutely.
Breeders. They have a
Absolutely.
Team, and they have those records in their hands available at any minute, because that's what they do for a living.
Yes, and even like in my case where it's not my main living, it's kind of a love of standard poodles that got me into this and golden doodles, but it's still, you know, you want to know. If someone calls me and says, do any of your dogs have a chicken allergy, da da da, I can tell them who does. There was one once. I can tell you his name is Emma, golden doodle I bred. Only one in the whole pile, but you know what I mean? Like, I know where everybody is and what's going on with them all, and it's a lot of animals, but you keep paperwork on everybody. You want to. That's, and you, yeah. So,
well, and you know,
right.
And another really cool thing was when I've been out there in the world of myself searching for my next dog, when I call the person, whether they're a professional breeder or like, you know, you, or once in a while you have a litter, one of the things I love is, you know, when you talk to them, you can feel their energy. You can feel their love. You can feel their passion. When they can tell you, oh, well, this little one, he just loves to sit on my lap. He loves to be cuddled. He loves to do this. Or this one likes to tear into that. Then you know that that owner really cares about the pets because they're telling you about their personalities. They're telling you about their little idiosyncrasies or what they love and what they like. And you know it, and that makes me trust them even more when they know about the personality of each of those puppies.
You should be able to meet the mama dog if you're buying a puppy, always. She's
She's
involved in teaching the puppies what to like, what not to like, how calm or nervous to be, what to be afraid of, what to react to, what to protect from, all that stuff. If she's a ball of nerves, her puppies are not going to be what you want, most likely. So you need to meet her. Now, I'm not saying she's going to be jumping into your lap while you're there to take her puppies away and she really wants to keep them, because that's how it is for her. It's hard for her to welcome all these strangers at a time when her natural instinct is to just protect them. But what happens with me is a good female will bark a little bit at the strangers coming, or bark at them if they get too rough or too wild. Say they bring kids and the pups are really small. But once the pups are 6, 8, 10 weeks, when people come to visit them, she'll bark a little bit. And then if kept on leash, she'll get really mellow, pick one person she likes, go sit beside them, accept pets from them. That's a stable mother. If the mother has to be caged somewhere and you can't even meet her, or you can't meet her with her pups, there's something wrong there. If you're meeting dogs that are related but not the father, not the mother, there's something wrong there. If the pup is under 10 weeks and you can't meet the mother, where's the mother? Where's the mother? The mother should have been there till 8 weeks. What they need to nurse. What's going on with all this? Why wouldn't they just let her be with them while they sell the pups, you know? If they have every kind of puppy, an assortment, not just, you know, one or two, but an array. You go to their website, you could buy one of 13 types of puppy. Okay, that should set off alarm bells. This last lady who was arrested and the first one, the first couple, all had so much variety. When you think about, even in my case, where I only breed poodles and doodles, it's you know, it's an easier mix to breed because you can have the one stud and you never mix. I still have to get new unrelated puppies into my program, or else it's not good, you know. But what if you're breeding everything under the sun? Well, you're going to be cutting corners. There's going to be inbreeding. It's just not where you want to be. So, you know, just check it out. That's what I'm saying. And I think that's what you're saying too, right?
That's right. It's, you know, just do what you would do, you know, when you're going to buy your first big expensive car or take your children to somebody you don't know or have a babysitter, you know. You have to care just as deeply and dig just as deeply about everything, you know, in your life that comes into your life, and give it as much priority as you would anything else.
And when you see a puppy, trust your instinct.
That's right.
If you think it's nervous, if you think it's weak, if you think it's shy or lethargic, if there's something that seems up, and the breeder says, oh, well, he was just very active. He's having a nap. Okay, that could be true. Ask if you could come back later when he's more lively. There's no rush. You're going to have this animal 12 years, 15 years. Do you really want to rush this? And that's another thing. You might save a couple $100 or more buying outside a flea market or a pet store on the street somewhere, but you will not save, because these puppies tend to be weaned early. They tend to be from malnutrition, badly treated parents. So you're going to have a whole whack of health problems the whole life long that'll more than make up for that purchase price. It's like that saying, don't look a gift horse in the mouth. Actually, do look a gift horse in the mouth. Because the horse, no, seriously, because the horse can be free. But if you don't look at its teeth and its feet, I mean, you could be paying through the roof for that horse, right?
Yeah,
and it's the same with the puppy mill dog. Puppy mill dogs tend to have compromised immune systems, skin, ears, teeth. If they're pushed in face, tiny dogs especially, nose, ears, eyes, breathing issues. If they're larger dogs, they can have intestinal issues. And all of them tend to have behavioral issues. So, you know, we were talking before we came on air about dolphins, and there was this terrible dolphin in the news where the people grabbed it out of the water and just to take selfies ended up killing the poor little dolphin baby. And, you know, you just can't do that. You've got to treat animal babies like they're babies. And I think people miss that, you know, and when you go swimming with the dolphins at some resort where you think maybe they're not treated so well and the pool smells bad, while you want your experience with dolphins, you're not helping things. You're contributing to them wanting to capture these animals to do that for you. And so, I mean, you really got to think about it. I've wanted to ride horses so many times in my life and not done it, even though I so desperately wanted to in that place at that time, just because the horse wasn't treated right. And I couldn't contribute to the need to have more horses treated that way. So I do think we have to think about that, even though you might think, oh, I'll save that particular puppy. Better off if you figure out there's a puppy mill or mistreatment going on, get the SPCA to save those puppies. And you do the smart thing with the pet you allow into your life. Go make the call. That's what you need to do, right, Becky?
That's right. Be aware, but not only, I think your major point here is, of course, we have to care about our own individual needs and our personal lifestyles, but we also have to care about everything else that we see and that we sense and that we just know is wrong. And when you feel something's wrong, there usually is something wrong. And you have to take that step. You have to take that action and not be afraid to step in and interfere. And, you know, you could be saving a life, saving many lives, saving torture and abuse. And, you know, we all have to play our part.
You know, we had an earlier guest today about bunnies, Bunny World, and she originally was called to investigate something she thought was completely different. And she went there to investigate what was supposed to be captive birds, and it ended up being so much more. It ended up being a puppy mill and a bunny and, you know, all this other stuff. And I think sometimes if you think something doesn't look right, call it in. There's a chance it's a hoarder. That's another thing where we really need people to help each other. The person doing the hoarding is convinced that the animals need them and only them, that any other place won't be as good. They're convinced they're doing the right thing. And you're not betraying them or hurting them by helping them get the help they need, because they need help. When their animals are reproducing out of control and they have, you know, 100 cats and 50 dogs and gerbils and who knows what else, all living in feces and neglected ears on the topic of the day, neglected coats, neglected diet, parasites, unvaccinated, sometimes going without food. I mean, this situation, and if they're intact, they'll be breeding, and then they may be selling puppies. I mean, there's a lot of overlap here. If you see fighting dogs, you think something's out amiss. If you see this kind of activity, if you smell problems, it needs further looking at, right, Becky?
That's right, and step in and do your part. Don't be afraid.
No, or thinking that you owe the person who's actually ill their independence, because they need the help more than they need their independence if they're living in that condition themselves and possibly exposing kids to it too, or elderly parents. I mean, usually it's not one person living like this. It can be really, really frightening. And these recent arrests were cases like that too. So where there's that overlap, there's that tone of the person really doesn't see that they're doing wrong in the first case, and the second still claims that, insists the conditions are okay, but obviously we're not by the state of the animals apprehended. So we all have to do our part to help each other treat animals properly is kind of the mood of today. Can you let our listeners know where they can, well, what magazines you've got and where they can get them?
Well, they can reach out to you. They can send you an email, Deb, and just ask for any, you know, free subscriptions we'll be happy to provide. We have Animal Wellness, Feline Wellness, Equine Wellness, which are all about alternative, healthy, green, safe, natural, organic ways to provide a lifestyle for your animals. And then, of course, if they're on a professional level, we have Integrative Veterinarian Care Journal, the American Holistic Veterinarian Medical Association Journal. And then once a year for just dogs only and all the types of breeds when you're trying to choose a dog perfect for your family, we have the Canadian Dog Annual. So anything and everything about animal health and any kind of animal, we can provide the education for you, and we'd be happy to do that for any of your listeners.
Well, while we've been talking, the poodle and the schnauzer went inside. Other dogs got walked. Other dogs fooled around. Now they're back out again. Round 600. You know, there's nothing like the way adolescent dogs play. They just play so great together. Boxers and poodles and schnauzers and poodles are particularly good matches. But in general, you know, that puppy age when they're between like 10 months and 2 years, they just have the greatest play. Greatest play. Well, if you want to see some of that play, go to Camp Good Dog on Facebook or debwolf.ca, and you can see some of the dogs playing here at Camp Good Dog. In the meantime, until next week, be careful where you send your animals. Be careful where you buy your animals. Make sure you vet check everybody. And until next week, from Becky Starr and from me, be good to your animals. From Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio. And anytime you're near-